two things in my orbit of interest. I was invited into a very intimate meeting with the governor. There was 30 of us on the phone, mayors from around the state representing all areas of the state. And we had a chance to have the governor for, gosh, I think just slightly over an hour. The commissioner was on, Dr. Zink was on, Mr. Kowalski was on. So we kind of had the powerhouse there, and it was very interesting. He was extremely responsive to concerns from the communities. And again, I keep saying this over and over again, we're not the only community out there that has concerns about capacity. The governor's refrain, he constantly came back to, we're listening, you need to tell us what you need and how we can help, and we want to get that information up. So my questions all revolved around capacity, which is the one thing that no industry can really do anything about. We only have the building we have, we only have the staff we have, we only have the equipment we have. And so as we add density to our community, that can impact those situations. So I brought up asking if the state would be willing to mobilize National Guard or other potential air services that they have access to provide a way for workers to exit the community. And because that is a concern for the community if we had an influx of workers who got sick and then were, you know, requiring care here. And he has assured all the mayors that were on the phone that he will be working on it and looking into it. But one of the things that became clear to me, both from that meeting and from the meeting that I sat in this morning, and Lisa, can you tell me again exactly how that was built? That was a fishing industry meeting, right? There's so many of these, I have a hard time remembering who's what. No,
this morning's meeting was a request originally by the city manager in Valdez for coastal communities on the road system to meet and express concerns about sport and rec boat fishing influxes. But then I shoved us into the party based on a concern from our harbor master that we had gotten a call from someone who wanted to come down and actually had asked the harbor master for a ride from the airport to the grocery store to grab groceries and then go out on his boat. So
yeah, but it came up again about the plans, and it came up again about the backlog on the plans. And one of the concerns that I have, and I raised this, it was raised with the governor as well, is that if we have a backlog, and we do have a backlog, they fully admit it, and they're trying to do it by priority. I am concerned that vessels can just start, or whatever, not vessels, I'm not going to pick on fishermen, whoever can start running whenever they want as soon as they submit a plan, whether it's a good plan, a bad plan, it's got deficiencies. And although we are doing we are asking for folks to submit a plan to the plan to us, and we're paying people to review that plan and coach those people on areas that they might be missing, they still can do whatever they want. There's no stamp of approval from anyone. And it's coming back after the fact and saying that part of your plan wasn't good enough. And so this was raised as a real concern for a small community. So let's say, you know, somebody decides that, you know, some boat decides that they're going to do it this way and it's not the right way. We can't say no to them. We can raise it to the state. So what we've heard now is that if we find deficiencies, we need to get that back up to the state so that they can come back to the person and say, you have deficiencies, you need to fix these. And hopefully that happens quickly and doesn't get backlogged itself. So today, you know, Lisa did a good job of asking questions directly related to that. And they don't have a mechanism for that right now. They don't have people in place that are sort of looking at rejects from the community. So we need to make sure that we keep that front and center. The last thing I'll mention is that Dr. Ann Jarvis, who is the consultant that's been hired basically by the fishing industry to be putting together plans for both processors and the fleet, basically, But also helping, I believe to also consult on the plan for fishermen in general. She contacted me, I believe on Thursday, it might've been Wednesday. We spoke about the density question, and she believed that there was a, that the guys were being, you know, the fleet or the people working in the plant are encouraged to buy medevac insurance. And if they get sick, they'll utilize the medevac insurance to get out of the community. I don't know. I spoke to two of the medevac providers that come into Wrangell, both Guardian and Airlift Northwest, and predominantly Guardian Services search facilities. Neither of them had had any discussions with anybody directly about offering a service where they get flown out of the community. But it doesn't really work like you get sick and you say, okay, Guardian, come pick up this person who's COVID positive, take him to Seattle. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you go into the hospital here says, we can't care for you. You need to go to a higher level of care. Then the doctor in our hospital phones up Swedish, finds a doctor in Swedish that will take that patient. And then there is a direct doctor to doctor transfer of that patient through the Guardian service. Now, I'm not going to say that that's not happening somewhere, because I think it would be incredibly smart if they did get a contract with a medevac service that said, we got people, you guys got a plane that we can isolate the person away and you guys can get them the heck out of Dodge. I think that would be incredibly intelligent. But I can tell you that the two major medevac services that come to Wrangell have not been contacted about doing that. I believe Airlift Northwest had been contacted by Ocean Beauty regarding memberships for medevac, and Guardian had been contacted by Bristol Bay Fisheries, the fisheries, like the big fishing group there, again, about memberships for their fishermen. I like to see that they're thinking that along those lines, but as of right now, there is no plan to take somebody who's COVID positive out of the community and move them to a larger center. So those were my two big bits. Anybody else have anything to add to the update there?
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if Dorianne, Captain Spray is on the line. If she is, I don't know if she's got something to add.
No, it looks like Tim is on
Chief
the line.
Chief Bunetz is on the line.
Oh, okay. I don't know if, Chief, do you have anything to add?
Chief Bunetz, do you want to add anything? Tim, are you on there?
I can see he's muted.
I unmuted him.
Okay. Well, maybe he has us all muted and he's just pretending he's online. Okay. I don't see, is there anybody else would like to make a comment or a hand or share anything? What are you doing there, David? Did you want to say something?
Yeah.
I don't see your hand. There we go.
So, I don't know, somewhere I read in the last few days, something about tomorrow, that they're lifting interstate mandates, because I've had people tell me that they could bring their boats to me from out of town. But now, Lisa, you're saying that they're either strengthen them or they're going to extend them?
So, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Assemblymember Powell, the interstate, so coming from Seattle or outside of the state, my understanding is from today's meeting is that they are planning to extend that quarantine. So someone who is coming up from Seattle would need to, their quarantine begins the moment they leave Seattle, so long as they don't stop and break quarantine anywhere along the way. But they are required to self-quarantine for 14 days. So if it took them 12 days to transit to to wrangle, they would need to self-quarantine for an additional two once they get here before they can do anything. That's the state mandate. Intrastate between communities within Alaska, there is no quarantine requirement, none whatsoever. We are asking people to do a modified quarantine and to self-isolate if they're coming to town from another place, but that is not required. So if somebody wants to bring you their boat from Ketchikan or from Petersburg or from Juneau to have work done, now this is for critical workforce infrastructure. The travel mandate 12 is still in place, that you are only supposed to be traveling for critical workforce infrastructure or for critical personal reasons. But for those that are traveling under that, there is no quarantine requirement.
So you haven't heard anything about them lifting that part about critical workforce or anything?
No, that was not brought up on any of the calls today. But Jamie Roberts is watching the governor's briefings every evening at 5 o'clock. And we get an update in the morning at our EOC meeting. So if that is something that was discussed tonight by the governor, I'll know it first thing in the morning. And if we hear that on any of our meetings, we'll certainly get that out to you guys. Are you talking about? So I guess I would add to that, the big issue that has come up, one of the big issues that's come up from the communities is this concern about people recreating. And although the state mandates say you can recreate and they encourage you to recreate as close to home as possible, there's nothing that's stopping people from recreating as long as you can social distance. So in that regard, it's a crapshoot, I guess. There's not really anything clear. This gentleman that I talked about that is a rec boat owner from Anchorage that called, you know, if he gets, even though he's not critical workforce infrastructure or critical personal travel, if he gets on a plane and gets to Wrangell and can social distance once he gets here, and he's recreating and gets on his boat and leaves, I don't know that there's anything we can do about it.
I don't think there's anything you can do if a group of people want to come from Petersburg and play golf by their boat. There's nothing you can do. That's the whole Kenai Peninsula question with the dip netters and all those folks. So.
Right, exactly. Anybody that's on the road system is facing that with anybody that can drive in, correct?
So, Julie, I have you next and then Drew right after you. So, but David, does that answer things for you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Julie?
Yeah, a couple of things. The Dr. Jarrett that Mayor Prashanka mentioned, who's been working with the seafood industry on vessel mandates and procedures on board to keep people safe, she is giving a webinar Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Alaska time. It's going to be nationwide, and National Fisherman is helping co-host it. But you can register online for free and listen. And so I encourage people to look that up if anyone from the commercial fishing industry is curious to know and understand more about what to do on your boat. We're also hoping in the industry to do a specific one in Alaska with Dr. Jarrett once this vessel mandate is issued.
Julie, can I ask that you get that information to Kim so she can send it out to the assembly and make it available on our website as well?
Sure. Yeah, it's also on AFDS Facebook page. We've been advertising it. And then on the vessel mandate, I was copied on that email as well that Lisa received, and same as her, I just received it. But I did see that there's three attachments. One of them is an acknowledgement form, which is something that I think is really important that all fishermen will have to sign that they have read and will comply with the mandate. They need to keep a copy on board. And it talks about what you can be convicted of or charged with if you violate it. So it's very important. They plan to issue it tomorrow. So commercial fishermen, please pay attention. It is 12 pages long now. It used to be four. So it's got extended. But, you know, the idea is to keep both fishermen, their crew, and the communities in which they work safe so that everybody can continue to operate. And so it's very important that fishermen take it seriously. And I'm hoping, again, to have more communication with the seafood industry to see if we can have, you know, not just statewide, because all these meetings have to be done online, right? Because we can't have large meetings. So not just statewide webinars, but maybe local ones as well, or regional ones, to help people work through understanding what the mandate means and how to do that on the boat, like a question and answer session. So I'll send it, as soon as I get more information about that, I'll also send that out to folks.
Thank you, Julie. Drew.
Yes, I was just wondering, with in-state travel being opened up a little bit, is there any conversation about returning ferry travel transport or things like that? And yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Lisa.
I have heard not one mention of the Alaska Marine Highway System.
The last update that I got said that there was, I believe they were going to stay shut down well into May. Due to mechanical. So there's nobody is focusing on it right now.
Yeah, I thought I had heard through June as well. So just checking.
Okay, well, that's
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, please, Lisa.
Kim just texted that Dee Dee sent, Captain Spray sent her a message saying they're having technical difficulties, but that the governor did mention some retail will be opening this week in phase one.
Okay.
So we'll be looking for those.
Lisa, could I task you with just, I found it interesting what took place at the Sitka Assembly the other night, because we were actually mentioned in their meeting as having tried to do additional and got shut down by the state. Do you want to mention where the Sitka wound up and some of the things that they did, just so that, I guess, we understand what some communities are doing?
Sure, and I may ask Kim to assist me here. I just had a brief chance to review their ordinance, but essentially what Sitka did was they mandated a 14-day quarantine for everybody coming into the community. Doesn't matter where you're coming from, what you're doing, whether you quarantined before you came. Once you get to Sitka, you're required to quarantine for 14 days. Period. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, they, Kim, there were some other things there. I don't have it in front of me. Did you want to add anything on that?
I have it in front of me, but my screen is freezing up.
So. Okay, no problem. I think what I found interesting about what they did is they made the decision, like Assembly Member Powell advised us, that they were just going to move forward with what was right for their community. And if the state wanted to come and sue them, bring it on, and they'll deal with it then. I thought that was interesting. And they, I can't remember all the various things, but I know that Dr. Burrell from Search testified and brought forward capacity issues. Because of course, excuse me, Mount Edgecombe is not only Sitka's hospital, but it's a regional hospital. And it's a hospital that we medevac to from here as well. So, but if you get a chance, Kim, would you send out that bit of legislation that came out of Sitka to the Assembly, just so folks can see what they did?
I sent it last week.
Okay. So just as long as everybody got it. I wasn't sure if everyone got it or not.
Mr. Mayor, my understanding also from Captain Spray is that Petersburg is supposed to either tonight or sometime this week be taking action on some sort of an order or an ordinance to restrict the size of vessels, like cruise vessels coming in, to no more than 25 passengers. So it'd be interesting to see if that's something that they do as well.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing is a trajectory statewide, just for the Assembly to understand. And what I'm hearing, and I'm, I like Lisa, I'm spending a fair amount of time in these meetings, my belief is the trajectory is that they will be opening, attempting to open as early as possible for a small ship season, with a large ship season potentially mid-July on, something if they can. And so that would, of course, mean, first of all, they'd have to remove the out-of-state two-week quarantine, in order, or else have people float around out there for 2 weeks while they're doing their quarantine. But I think the move is towards trying to salvage the small ship season. And I can report from Lynn's perspective, that would be very, very difficult. And she voiced that very clearly to me the other night, that that would terrify her. So I think we need to keep an eye on that one and understand, and maybe look at some actions like what potentially Petersburg may do tonight. I spoke to Mayor Jensen yesterday, and he said that they had several measures that they were looking at. So we'll take a look at those.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if they do extend the interstate quarantine. If they do, then that would push that season out however much longer. Certainly, but and I had a second point, but it has escaped me. I apologize.
Mayor Jensen explained to me that they have lodge owners in Petersburg that are looking at trying to run their season by claiming that the person comes in, goes to their lodge, and that's their quarantine. And he said, of course, you've got the guides coming back and forth, and the cooks, and whoever's the staff is in and out back to the community. But so it's a tough one. You know, do you call what is a true quarantine? Quarantine is you shouldn't be around others, and except for your immediate family. So the other thing that was raised that I thought was really an interesting one, and I had this from a call from a person in town whose grandson was returning, and he was a deckhand on a boat last year. And so making the case that he didn't have to quarantine because he was in the fisheries. And so he's a fisherman and he doesn't have to quarantine. And I assured her that he did, that it doesn't mean just because you fish, you know, if you're traveling now and the season starts in June, you know, that's not really a fair comparison. So then I know that they're having a problem in Kodiak with the seasonal staff coming in, walking the docks, looking for jobs and basically not quarantining at all. Then these folks are coming up from wherever. And that's, you know, Lisa, I think you were in on that call. It's a large problem for them. So lots of issues. It's amazing. Things you would never think of that communities, cities, villages are trying to figure out. It's complex. Any other questions or comments or thoughts? Lisa, is that a wrap for you? Oh, Kim?
Sorry. If I can, I did receive a text message from Captain Spray as well. She wanted us to say on the radio that this is Volunteer Appreciation Week, and we all want to thank all of the volunteers on the fire department and the EMS responders.
Absolutely. And yeah, there you go. And the tribal representative is going to be Esther. So we have that committee in place, and Lisa and I will be, Lisa's not directly on it, but they will of course be reporting to Lisa with their findings, but Lisa and I will prep them. And one of the things I have to understand is it's not a legislative task force. It's a advisory task force to the assembly for us to utilize to help us generate a path forward and for not allowing our economy to get destroyed. Any other comments? Thanks, Lisa. Great update. Appreciate it. Kim, thank you. Everybody have a great evening. And we'll adjourn.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.